So I think for starters, we should define what energy savings performance contracts are and how the Army in particular is increasing the use of them.
Sure. An energy savings performance contract is a contract in which an outside entity, a private contractor, comes into an Army installation, makes energy efficiency improvements on our facilities, guarantees energy and cost savings from those improvements, and then gets paid back over time either with a portion of that savings. And when the payment is complete, then all of the savings accrue to the Army.
And would you call this really a business innovation in terms of figuring out how to pay for these improvements?
Well, the authorities, the congressional authorities to engage in this type of contracting have been on the books since the mid-1990s.
Mm.
What the issue is how to maximize the use of those authorities in a manner that is business savvy and maximizes the value for the Army, but also recognizes that it has to provide value for the private entity. So what we in the Army and other services and other agencies have been trying to do is streamline the process, making it easier and faster to come to an agreement.
Mr. Kidd, one of the things about the Army has really been a leader in using energy performance contracts. Tell us what you guys are doing with these types of contracts at Fort Bliss, and maybe give us some other ideas of where else the Army is using them.
Sure. The Army is interesting because of our size. We are the largest electricity consumer in the federal government. The federal government consumes about a little more than 1% of the total electricity in the country. The Army consumes 21% of that. So with the largest utility bill, it only makes sense that the Army should look for all opportunities to reduce costs and generate energy savings. How the Army is applying ESPCs is that we see these as a tool for both energy savings and, in some cases, where it's cost effective, the installation of renewable energy solutions. Fort Bliss is one of many installations in the Army that's taking advantage of energy savings performance contracts. But what's unique about Fort Bliss and its partner installation just up the way, White Sands Missile Range, is in December they signed ESPCs that had a very large component of renewable energy as part of the contract, and that was pretty interesting and exciting.
And what's the expected savings from this renewable energy, or at least some of the metrics that you guys are looking at?
Sure. I can't give you the specifics on the individual projects at Fort Bliss, but I can tell you how the contracts work is that there's what's called a measurement and verification plan, which measures the energy savings for the government. And only after that savings has been verified does the contractor get the payment, their portion of the payment. And generally, the savings is measured in terms of reduced total energy consumption against a baseline on that building or installation.
You've talked about the cost-saving benefits of this, but what else does this accomplish in terms of Army energy goals?
Sure. Well, the Army and other services have a variety of energy goals. One, of course, is to be cost-effective with the taxpayers' money. But we also have this interest in energy security. How can we guarantee reliable supplies of energy on our installations, as well as a variety of federal statutory mandates that apply to us? How do we best meet those mandates? So when we look at projects, we try to say, all right, how does this help us in compliance with mandates? Does this provide some degree of enhanced energy security on our installation or in the surrounding area? And can we do this in a manner that's cost effective, that we don't have to pay an exorbitant premium that we'll never see a return on?
The energy security piece of it makes a lot of sense, especially in a place like, you know, Fort Bliss or Fort Carson, where there's plenty of sun and plenty of land available. How do you accomplish something like that on an installation that maybe doesn't have that abundance of natural energy resources, like, I don't know, Fort Belvoir here or one of
Sure.
the smaller installations?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, in your opening comments, you talked about how the Army is becoming green. And, well, we're becoming green because it makes sense from our mission perspective. All right. First and foremost, the Army recognizes that we have to make decisions today so that we don't have our choices constrained in the future through rising costs and other things. What we've done in terms of looking at energy options, we've analyzed all the installations across the Army, and we recognize that some of the installations have different attributes, if you will, in terms of either the ability to produce renewable power or their utility rates are different, or the state incentives are different. For example, in Hawaii, the electricity prices are so high that almost anything we do in terms of solar power pays for itself in a matter of years, three mm-hmm. to 4 years. It's fantastic from that perspective. At places where you don't have a lot of sun, do you have wind? Do you have biomass potential, geothermal energy potential, or waste-to-energy potential? And we also look at things like natural gas as well. I mean, this is not the Army recognizes that for energy security, we may need to do some things besides just renewables. Like to see renewables used in concert with some other systems, if other technologies, if that makes sense.
Sure. We're talking with Richard Kidd, the Army's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Energy and Sustainability.
The Army has put in place several of these energy savings performance contracts. What kind of advice or lessons learned do you have that you would maybe give to other agencies who maybe are just starting down the path?
Well, there's been almost all the federal agencies do use energy savings performance contracts, and I came to the Army from the Department of Energy, the Federal Energy Management Program. And the Federal Energy Management Program chairs a number of working groups that the agencies participate in to exchange ideas and lessons learned. And the Army is very active in those. We run our own contracting vehicle. Other agencies use the DOE vehicle. But we meet frequently, and the lessons learned is sort of in the arcane ways of writing a contract or legal reviews or how to speed up the process, how to assure and guarantee savings. That's where most of the lessons learned are. The lessons learned that we exchange with other agencies are in those areas.
And I think that's helpful because agencies, I think with the Obama administration's push to use more of these contracts, there's a lot of push for it now from within the agencies. Just briefly, what comes next for the Army? Where else are you looking to put in either these types of contracts or other kind of renewable energy sites?
Sure. Well, the Army has a number of initiatives that are ongoing. The first is what we call the Net Zero Installation Initiative, which is intended to take a holistic systems of systems approach to analyzing everything that goes on in our installations, energy, waste, and water. And that includes both renewables and other items. We have the Energy Initiatives Task Force, which is intended to look at the deployment of large-scale renewable projects using power purchase agreements and enhanced use lease. And we have our energy savings performance contracting effort, and we have appropriated funds for some energy improvements or energy security efforts as well. So those are sort of the four things that we're doing across the Army, are sort of our four sources of resources and initiatives.